Good morning, and a really happy Easter to you all. It would be really helpful if you could keep your Bibles open at the passage that we've had read to us on page 1061, and let me pray for us as we begin. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this Easter morning, that you are alive, and may we encounter you, the living word, in the written word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I brought with me today this rather great-looking Easter egg. Oh. Okay. And inside, there is something really precious. And I've asked Anna if she'd come and help me. Anna's part of our church family here. She's back from university for Easter, and it's great to have Anna and many other faces back with us today. So Anna, let me give you our amazing Easter egg. So if you'd like to open it, have a rummage and see what you can find. Uh-huh. Okay, do you want to hold up for everybody? This is a Pandora bag. At this point, I need to say there are other high street jewelers that you can go to. Would you like to open it then and see what you can see inside? Ooh, a ring box. Ooh, yes. And what's inside your ring box?
Nothing.
Nothing is there. Oh, I'm so sorry, Anne. How do you feel about that? Tell us.
Absolutely gutted.
Disappointed. So I'm going to send you back to your seat empty-handed, and I'm really sorry. This is a little bit like the experience of those women on that first Easter morning. Imagine how they are feeling. Over the last 2 days, they've watched, often from a distance, as their friend Jesus has suffered and died in one of the most gruesome ways known to man. They were hopeless and helpless as they watched, but loyal to him to the last, they followed those who laid his body in the tomb so they could see where he'd been laid, with plans to return after the Sabbath to anoint his body with spices and perfumes. And so here they are. It's the first day of the week, and it's still very early dawn when this group of women reaches the tomb. They'll be sad still and grieving. They've had a massive shock. They're experiencing the absence of Jesus. And so they come full of anticipation to find the body of their precious friend as a way of showing their care for him, even in death, and to honour him. On the evening of the Friday, Jesus was buried and a large stone placed across the entrance of the tomb. And this was usual practice at that time to keep animals and vandals from disturbing the body. It was also common for there to be grave robbers because the linen grave clothes could be very valuable. So a stone was rolled across the entrance to avoid grave clothes being stolen. But in Jesus' case, there was another reason why it was important that the tomb was well and truly sealed by a big stone. And that was because the Romans were worried that the disciples would come and steal Jesus' body and then be able to tell the people that Jesus was alive. He'd risen from the dead as he had said he would when he was with them. And the Romans were keen to avoid any possibility of that or of any new movement forming around the person of Jesus. We know from Mark's account that the women weren't sure how they were going to move the massive stone in order to get to Jesus' body. But when they arrive, they find the stone has already been rolled away. They go in and they look and they discover that the precious thing that they'd come to find and honour, the precious body of their friend Jesus, was not to be found. He is not there. The grave clothes were there, so this wasn't about grave robbers, but his body is gone. And so they're probably now even more distressed, even more confused as to what may have happened to Jesus' body and who may have taken it. And it just doesn't make sense. And then suddenly, two men appear in clothes that must have dazzled them in that early morning, angelic-type figures. And as you and I would have been, they were frightened. And it's these two men who say what has happened. Jesus is not here because he is risen. He is alive. They are looking for him in the wrong place. It doesn't make sense to look for someone who is alive in the place kept for the dead. Does the resurrection make sense? What's sense and what's nonsense? Now, I need your help to sort out some sense from nonsense. I've got a few statements that are going to appear up on the screen behind me. And as we look at them in turn, you can help me as to whether they make sense or not. So here's the first one. Is this sense or nonsense? So a quick show of hands. Sense? Sense, okay. Yeah. Okay, it's nonsense to me, I have to say. But it is central to Einstein's theory of relativity. Next one. Sense or nonsense? What's this all about? Nonsense, hands up. Quick show of hands. Sense? Okay, this is actually a code for the word sense or nonsense, where each letter stands for the letter before it. And actually, I write my Christmas list in this way. Now I've given that away, haven't I? That's my code for my Christmas present list. It looks like nonsense, but it is in fact a code for sense or nonsense. Next one. This is probably easy for many of us here. Is this sense? Yay, this is sense. 5 + 3 = 8. That's a nice, easy one. Next one. All dogs are animals, and so all animals are dogs. Nonsense, I hear down here. Yes. Now, that's a logical statement, but it is, in fact, nonsense, isn't it? Okay. Now, the next one. It depends on your age for this one, as to whether this is sense or nonsense. If you're over 40, it might be nonsense. If you're a young person here this morning, this might make absolute sense. Is there anybody who knows what this means? Annabelle knows?
Basically means stop being so angry because you're fear of missing out.
Okay, Annabelle's got this absolutely right. Salty is a new word, I am told, for being angry or upset. And FOMO stands for the fear of missing out. So translated for the over 40s, this is stop being so upset just because you've got a serious case of the fear of missing out. Okay. And the final one. He is not here. He has risen. If you're a Christian today, this will make sense. But many would still say that this is nonsense. These statements show us that making sense of something is not always as easy as we think. The women are struggling to make sense of the empty tomb. But judging from what the angels say in verses 6 and 7, neither can they understand Jesus' arrest or his crucifixion or all that he said beforehand. Whatever has happened at the tomb, they can see no meaning in the event, but it's just one of a number of events for them, none of which makes sense. And it's a bit of a picture for us of how we can often live our lives, being preoccupied with our basic needs for food and clothes and security, or perhaps filling our lives with much more than we need and running after those things. And that takes up all our time. So that we never actually make sense of life, what it's all about, and what is really important. The angels say to the women, remember how he told you while he was still with you. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And so then they remember Jesus' words. And as they remember, they can at last make sense of recent events. Jesus' death wasn't about things spiraling out of control, but it was part of a bigger plan that he had foreseen and had willingly entered into. And the same with the empty tomb. It was evidence that Jesus' words about rising again on the third day were true. Jesus had spoken of his death and resurrection on a number of occasions, but they had failed to understand. But now it makes sense. The words of Jesus that they remember put into place the final pieces of the jigsaw and bring sense to their lives. It's the first day of the week as they visit the tomb, and it's the first day of a new era that continues today. The events of this Easter weekend have meaning. As the New Testament says, because of our sins, he was given over to die, and he was raised to life in order to put us right with God. The empty tomb now makes sense to this group of women. But when they go to tell the disciples and other followers of Jesus, we read that they didn't believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. What makes sense to one person can be nonsense to another. And at that point, the disciples don't believe it. They conclude the women have made it up. It probably wasn't the first time, and it certainly wasn't the last, that men have thought that what women have to say is nonsense. On that first Easter morning, no one thought resurrection was possible. They would have had some notion of resurrection, but in that world, it was about what God would do at the end of time on a large scale for all God's people. Nobody ever dreamed that one living person would be killed, would be dead and buried, and raised to life while the rest of the world carried on. So the disciples think that the women are speaking nonsense, exactly the sort of thing you'd expect from a few women crazy with grief, unhinged by emotion and lack of sleep. But in addition to that, women weren't seen as credible witnesses in the ancient world. If Luke had been making this story up, he would not have had women going to the tomb first. He would have portrayed confident, faithful disciples who believed the story at once. But instead, he testifies to the fact that the message of the resurrection came to women first, people who were insignificant and had no status at that time. And instead, Luke describes the lack of faith and the lack of understanding of the disciples who dismiss the resurrection news as nonsense. I wonder where you stand today. You may have come to the conclusion that the resurrection makes absolute sense. The only way to account for the fact that the tomb was empty, that Jesus' body was never produced, and that once they had met the risen Jesus themselves, those disciples began a movement that spread across the world and that we here at St. Nick's are part of today, 2,000 years later. Well, you may be someone who thinks that the idea of someone rising from the dead is nonsense and that it could never have happened. Or you may be somewhere in between. Whoever you are, don't not think about it. It's not just about proof or evidence, for we also discover the truth of the resurrection through personal experience. Like Peter at the end of our reading as he went to the tomb to see for himself, take the time to wonder and go on wondering, to hear what is said, not dismiss it out of hand, but look and wonder. When we open our lives to the reality or even the possibility of the risen Jesus, we make sense not just of the resurrection, but of life itself. Let me pray for us. Father, this Easter, like Peter, may we take the time to wonder, whether afresh or for the first time, to wonder at what you've done for us and the new life that you offer us in Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen.